Title of the lesson is Dealing with Temptation. Dealing with Temptation. There is nothing nobler than to resist temptation to sin. In other words, a temptation comes our way and we say, I choose not to. There's nothing nobler than that. Proverbs 16:32 says this, He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. So listen to this. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit. In other words, instead of our emotions controlling us, we allow the Holy Spirit to control us. Instead of giving in to temptation, we say, no, I see it for what it is. It just brings badness. I say, I choose not to. It is a noble thing and a godly thing to allow God to control us. So, to be tempted to lust after a woman is not sin, but to lust after a woman is sin. So, don't feel guilty because you're tempted. The conviction of the Holy Spirit ensues once you give in to the temptation. So, Jesus never sinned, but was Jesus tempted? Absolutely. In all points like man, He was tempted just like us, but He never sinned. So, we must learn how to deal with temptation. Look at James chapter 1, look at verses 12 through 15. You know, we usually say, blessed is a man, but you could say, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. That means the trial is temptation. The trial is in hardship, is a temptation to give up. So, perseveres under temptation, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Now, we know that if you're a child of God, you already are in Christ, you're sealed there forever, and you have a home in heaven. But there are rewards and losses of rewards, not loss of salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. He says, we'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. I want to pause right there. I was thinking earlier in the week, there's a whole part of me that I thought, I'm just going to pause right there and make this a two-part lesson. I wanted us to have an open discussion on what it means to love Him, and I was going to prepare what it means. I'm going to have to do that another time. But the answer, if we will increase our love for Him, not by performance and proving to everybody how serious we are, I'm not talking about that. If we would increase our love for Him, we would resist temptation more often, and we would get joy in it. So, that's going to need to be a discussion for another day. How do we increase that love? All right. Promise to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. You can't even think that way. And you cannot blame your temptation on Satan. Now, Mike Hopkins would not be bothered at all if I tell you this, so I'll tell you. His biggest struggle was for many years, when he did wrong, he blamed it on Satan, so he never took responsibility. And then I taught a Sunday school lesson for a married class many years ago now, 20 or so years ago now, and I did a message on self, our own worst enemy. And I showed through there, much of what we do as far as sin has nothing to do with Satan, his demons, or anything. It is just me being selfish, wanting my own way. So, God doesn't tempt, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. Instead of saying, y'all pray for me, Satan's after me again, the number one thing is, it is me, it is me, it is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Satan says, I don't have to deal with you. I'm in Washington, D.C. Leave me alone. Now, the influence of the world because of his rulership causes us problems, but he says right here, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Yeah, it's like I'm wanting something that I think is either going to make me feel good or look good or for people to admire me. So I'm being carried away by this. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. not so much physical death, which we do know sin came into the world and death came with it. But when we live a sinful life, if you'll notice, it slowly but surely, it breaks down our relationships. We lose opportunities that could have really made us excel in life. A lot of things begin to happen when we just live in this sin. And so that's James 1, 12 through 15. Now, probably all of you will remember a man named Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't either. You know, he can't make you do anything. He can entice you, but it's our flesh that is our biggest struggle. So we don't believe what he said, but I know everybody loved it. Yeah, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, so therefore there's no room for the devil unless we allow ourselves to be drawn away. So temptation is common to man. You can know this. You're not a victim. All of us in here are tempted. Adrian was tempted. Billy Graham was tempted. Everybody's tempted. I mean, we're not like, poor, pitiful me. I've got it worse than everybody. No, 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 no. Temptation is common to man. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, talking about Adam, we all came from Adam. Forget skin color. Forget the language you speak. Bottom line, we all came from Adam. Therefore, just as through one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. That's the reason we're physically dying. And so death spread to some men, all men. That's why we're getting older. We talked about gray hair and white hair this morning, because all sinned. You say, wait a minute. Adam sinned. I wasn't alive yet. So how could God say in His Word, because all sinned? Because we're born with an inherited nature that Randy mentioned. It's like a magnet pulling at us to sin. And so the beautiful thing is, this is what happened at the cross because of this, and we're going to get to that just in a moment. So temptation is common to man. When pride was found in Satan's heart, he was cast out from the presence of God. When iniquity was found in his heart, God wasn't shocked and surprised and get out of here. He wasn't. That's the way we do it as humans. Basically, God separated Himself because God can't be in the presence of sin. So this is where sin started, in the heart of Satan, and God cannot be in the presence of sin. There has to be a separation. So when God created Adam, the first man, Satan entered man's world and ruined the perfect creation by tempting man and causing him to fall from his original fellowship with God and to be separated. So man now becomes sinful. And since Adam was the very first man, this sin spread to all of mankind right up to this present day. Romans 5:12, we've already read this. Now, we could say this, that we're double sinners. We're sinners by nature and we're sinners by choice. David said in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." In other words, I came out of my mother sinful because of what Adam did. It was spread to me. You say, well, we need some proof, Chris. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He lied about it. He had her husband murdered. He said, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That means you don't have to teach a child how to misbehave. Aren't you glad you don't have to teach them that? But you do have to teach them how to behave. It's common to man, and it's all over this earth. Now, we're also sinners by choice. You could say, well, I didn't ask for this, God, but I was born this way. Correct. But then if you think, well, I'm a victim. No, you're not. The victim is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for that. We're sinners by choice. In other words, you say, okay, I have something pulling at me to do this. All right? Paul said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what he's saying is this. Not only were we born with this nature that pulls us to sin, we could say, well, I didn't ask for this. Well, then God would say, now have you sinned since you've realized this? Oh, yes, I have, everybody. Okay, so we're sinners by nature. We were born that way. And also by choice. We could tell ourselves no when it comes to sin, but we choose choice to go and sin. Isaiah 14, 11 through 14. Now listen to this. You want to know what we talked about earlier, and I don't want us to start chasing rabbits here. What's happening in this world? Everybody knows things are very troubling. The whole world is saying, what's going on here? All right, I want to tell you what's going on. And you guys know it, but I just want us to revisit it. Isaiah 14, 11 through 14 talks about the fall of Satan. God created him. He was an angel. He was the wisest, most beautiful of all of God's created angels. Until iniquity, which is sin, was found in his heart. That's where it all originated. What was Satan saying? How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. God had to separate himself because God can't be in the presence of sin. The reason a person can't get into heaven, having believed in Christ, they're not clothed with Christ's righteousness because of the cross. So therefore, you have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. How did he weaken the nations? He stood in the direct presence of God in heaven, and he was sinless. But he was the wisest of all of them. He became pride. That's the number one sin that God hates the most, is pride, because it does more damage probably than any other thing. And so, because he came down to the earth, he started with Eve, the woman, and then her husband standing there with her, and then they gave in and they sinned. He tempted them in the same way that he fell himself. So now it's spreading to the nations. That's what we're seeing happening in our world right now. It is Satan working. All right. So this is what God said that he said. But you said, notice where? In your heart. Your heart is where your mind, will, and emotions are. There he is, the most beautiful name. He's in the direct presence of God. And he became prideful. I think it was Donald Gray Barnhouse said this, that the glory of creation that worshiped God came right past Lucifer in heaven, right there with God. And Lucifer reached out and took just a little bit to himself. All right. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High God. Our biggest struggle as human beings, I think we want to be worshiped. That's what I think. That's why our feelings get hurt so badly, because we want to be worshiped. So look what he said. He said, one, I will. Two, I will. Three, I will. Four, I will. Five, I will. I will. What did Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, not my will, thine be done. The answer to temptation? Not my will, thine be done. That's it. We could go home from that, but let's keep going forward. I've got some other things we want to look at. So, self-will against God's will. Now, listen to the Apostle Paul and see if you identify with him in his struggle with temptation. Remember, the one who wrote this was basically murdering Christians before he was born again, because God revealed himself to him and he was saved and wrote most of the New Testament. This is what he said about himself as a Christian. He is a Christian. He says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. Why would we do the very thing that we hate? For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice. That means it's continual. I practice the very evil that I do not want. And so, what is he saying here? He says here, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. What he's saying is this: I've got an indwelling principle of sin that I inherited from Adam. But I have been born again because I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and as me, and I ask him to come into my heart. And the Bible teaches that when I did that, and I believed and received him, his Holy Spirit came into me. I'm the glove, he's the hand. Okay, then, Chris, why are we still sinning? Because we have a nature of sin, and we choose to sin. pressed. Why don't he deliver me from this body of death? That's what he says further down in Romans 7. He did. He died on the cross for us. He died on the cross as us. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. It's like flying a jet airplane. Everything is fine as long as the motor is running. You turn the motor off and the jet goes straight up in the air. No, it goes straight down because of the law of gravity. What's pulling at us? All the I wills, selfishness, what is that? It is the indwelling principle of sin. What's the answer to it? It's to tell myself no in love and tell God yes, and the Holy Spirit keeps us above the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is a yieldedness. It is a surrender to these things. There was a man named Brother Lawrence. He was a monk in a monastery, and he became known because he wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. He was a very simple man. You know, when you're a monk in a monastery, you basically live a minimal life. You only have the basics. In a lot of ways, that's very freeing. So this particular monastery was world-renowned, and so they would have tours and let people come and tour the monastery. And so there was a tour group that came through, and one of the people in the group looked and saw Brother Lawrence digging potatoes in a garden. They knew him, and they knew of his book. And so he got away from the group and walked over and talked to Brother Lawrence and said, Brother Lawrence, he said, what's it like to get into this monastery, to get behind these walls and to get away from this world and all the evil that's out there? It must just be wonderful to be in here living a simple life and being protected from all that. And you know what Brother Lawrence said? He said, you're forgetting one thing. He said, what is that? He said, we bring ourselves in here with us. So that means even behind the walls of a secluded life in a monastery, we're struggling with ourselves. Even behind the walls of this local church, people are struggling with themselves, the pastor, all the way through. We're all struggling with ourselves. So, second thing is this, temptation involves the lust of the flesh, which we're already talking about it. But back again to James chapter 1, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed, but notice, by his own lust. If we go out today and a girl dressed very provocatively really comes at us, tempting us and all this, we cannot blame it on her for approaching us. We can immediately see her, knowing what she's up to, and we say, God bless you, you have a good day. We can do this. Or we can listen to her, we can talk to her, we can look her up and down. That is our decision. No one can be blamed for that except you. And it's not Satan and it's not a demon. It is us dealing with us. And so we make ourselves available for temptation because of our human and physical natures. So because of this, the natural man lusts for the forbidden fruit of self-will against God's will. And we are tempted because we are open to temptation. Again, it says, James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he is carried away, enticed by his own lust. And so, 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, listen to this. For all that is in the world, remember, God is sovereign, God is in control. There's planet Earth. We live in a moment. It's time. Started with Adam and Eve. One day it's coming to completion according to the Bible. So in this brief moment called time compared to eternity, Satan came down. The Bible teaches he's the ruler of this age, but he is under God. And so for all that is in the world, what do we see? The lust of the flesh. That means I want to gratify to myself. I want to ascend to be like the Most High God. I want to experience something. The lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away. And look, we talked about our white hair this morning. I'm dying. I say that to my wife and daughter sometimes. I say, praise God, I'm dying. And they say, Dad, don't say that. I say, is it true? Yes, it's true, but who wants to think about it? I said, I love to think about it. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. That's talking about eternity in heaven. It's not talking about living forever here on this earth. So there is the lust of the flesh. What does it look like? What does this look like practically speaking? Gluttony, immorality, doubtful habits, self-pampering, and mere satisfaction of the physical senses all lead to the desire to enjoy that which is contrary to the will and glory of God. So, He gave us five senses. He gave us five senses. Therefore, we can see, we can hear, you know, we can touch. All these things God gave us. He made us in His likeness. So, what we do is try to get these satisfied by something in the world system instead of simply satisfied by God and His leadership. The lust of the flesh. Then there's the lust of the eyes. So much temptation comes to the mind by means of the eyes. Lustful books, godless entertainment, unholy sights, all appeal to the sensual appetite. See, I said earlier when we were chatting, I want there to be like a revival, a spiritual movement that'll happen. That's what I'm praying and looking for. And I don't want to be negative. Nobody likes a negative person. It turns everybody off. But I also want to be a realist. And I said a moment ago, I said, I'm hoping and praying for a genuine spiritual revival among God's children that will impact a fallen world. But because of the internet, I'm not sure if that's going to happen because this, see, the internet is not very old. The internet, God is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere at once. Satan can only be at one place at a time. But with Him controlling the internet, He's constantly in our eyes and in our ears. I'm thinking this may be the last days where we're going to see what the Bible says at the rapture of the church and the coming of Christ, the thousand-year millennium. I think we're at that point. So, God's going to show us, but the lust of the eyes. It is sad to see how this invitation to sin is spreading into Christian homes by way of television and the internet. I know I've told you all this before. I remember clear as a bell. Y'all remember when HBO first came out? Where I was in the Mississippi Delta, it was a small brown box that sat on your television. And it came out and it got nicknamed Hell's Box Office. Because they were going to allow some things that children and people should not see, they were going to allow some movies with that in it. Instead of the theater, come straight into your home. And I never will forget, my dad said, we cannot have this in the house. We never had HBO or anything, but my dad would unplug the TV sometimes and said, look, we cannot watch this. I'm not going to let that come into my house. But he would do it in love. But I remember at our church, if you were a deacon and it was found that you had the box, the HBO box, that was going to disqualify you from being a deacon. I remember those days. I'll be 62 tomorrow, by the way. You can put the car keys of the new cars right in this box over here. So, the lust of the eyes. It is sad to see how this invitation to sin is spreading into Christian homes by way of television and the internet. Unrest, dissatisfaction, are generated by the Hollywood standards of glamour and love until a husband begins to think he is not happily married unless his wife is like some starlet that dresses and carries herself as a prostitute. A wife begins to feel she is being robbed because her husband cannot buy her the things she sees other women have. Or she is unhappy because her husband does not worship the ground she walks on. What is all this? It's all that originated in the heart of Satan, came down through Adam and Eve, and has gone down through the generation, and we're born with this in us. The answer is the cross of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so, this is brought on by the lust of the eyes. What you focus on, you become like, even when you don't realize it. It would do well for all of us to remember the children's song. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Remember, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, very first book of the Bible, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, good for food, taste, delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desire. All this is human emotions. All this is our humanity. to make one wise. Why does she want to be wise? I think because she wanted to be worshiped the same way Lucifer wanted to be worshiped in heaven. He's now infected us. And I said this, I did a devotion last Friday at Christ United Methodist Church. And I said, look, God the Father in heaven, Lucifer, the fallen angel. Paul says in Galatians, little children, I labor until Christ is formed in you. So therefore, we're either becoming more like Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm probably not. I'm going through a tough time. Well, then I believe you're becoming more like Satan. I'm not saying you've lost your salvation. If you're not becoming more like Christ, there's only one other person to become like, and it's Satan. You can say, what about carnality? What about all these things? No, it's either becoming more like Christ or becoming more like Satan. It's horrible to think. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And listen to this, guys. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Why did not he tell her no? Because I believe he wanted to please her. I believe she wanted to be worshipped. I believe Adam struggled with wanting to be worshipped. And I believe he fell into this, and he should not have. So then there's the pride of life. Choosing worldly wisdom contrary to the will of God is not wisdom at all. All of us have within us an urge to be something, to keep up with the Joneses, to possess more than others, to be more important than others, to know more than others. It's all pride, the pride of life. My house, my job, the way I dress controls us. Isaiah 5:21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Own eyes, own sight. I feel these things. What about God, though? Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The wise thing is say, God, I want your wisdom, not mine. Because if I walk by my wisdom, everything in my life is going to turn out negative. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and that fear does not mean shaking in my boots, he's going to beat me up. It means I love him. He's God. I love him, and I revere him. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. And then 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. Where did the wisdom of this world come from? It came from Lucifer. We know him as Satan, Beelzebub. And that's the opposite of God. He's the opposite of God. God is perfect. God is light. God is glory. Satan is darkness. Satan is not perfect. Satan is foolish because he was in the direct presence of God and believed that he could ascend to be like the Most High God. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And that has been passed on down to the human race, and that's where we struggle. Some, it's very obvious they struggle with it. Some, like us Southern Baptists, we're struggling with the same thing, but we're a little more delicate with it. But it still all can be traced back to Satan. So last point is this. Okay, how do we deal with the temptation? 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children. And that's the best way to look at us. We're like little kids. I love you. Stop doing that. I love you. Let me tell you what that'll do if you keep doing this. You're going to get caught in the mousetrap if you keep walking over there. If you pick that up, it's going to burn your hand. It's like you are from God. We're children of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is, listen, He, that's the Holy Spirit. Greater is the Holy Spirit who is in you than He, little h there, who is in the world, Satan. So he says, and greater than the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life is Christ who lives in us. So to deal with this, I have to say, okay, God, it's amazing that you still love me after all I've done wrong. But then you're reminded, but look what he did with King David. He's a man after my own heart, knowing everything that he would do wrong. I haven't murdered. I haven't committed adultery. I'm not a liar. I've lied, but I'm not a liar. Saul of Tarsus, he was allowing Christians to be murdered under his orders that he got from others. He got born again and wrote most of the New Testament. So what I'm saying is this. You say, okay, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to walk away from Satan and his world system. I'm going to choose in a positive, not a negative way, but I'm going to choose in the most positive way. I'm going to turn from myself. Paul said in Romans 7:18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me. He didn't say something. He said nothing. Why? Because we inherited what happened to Adam. We inherited that. He said, in my flesh, for the willing is present in me. In other words, I've got this desire, but I'm not doing it. But the doing of the good is not. What this is it. We all have to say, I choose from here forward. I do not have to have my way. Father, have your way in me by your Spirit. The moment we do that, things begin to blossom and lighten up. And then we begin to think, I wished I had done this a long, long time ago. I remember in my 20s when I began to see things differently from God's Word. I remember thinking, my mom and dad would have sure been happier if I had seen this when I was younger. But I want to tell you something. Well, you're in your 20s. In your 20s is good. But I wished I could have started in my teenage years seeing this, but I did not see it. And sometimes it almost takes, for me, it always took hitting my head against the wall before I would say, it's okay now, something, I got to change, you know, something's different. So turning from self, and then what? Turning to Christ. Now, I'm not talking here about getting saved. We're saved. We're children of God. What I'm talking about is I need to quit controlling my life. I need to let Him, Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to His lust. You know what He says when He says make no provision? You know what He's saying? It's like this. If you say, okay, I'm going to stop smoking cigarettes, all right, so you take the carton of cigarettes and you just throw it to the side of the desk or whatever you do with it. What He's saying is this. Don't do that because you'll go back to it. What He's saying is this. Make no provision for the flesh. In other words, if you say, I'm not going to smoke anymore, okay, take water and pour them all over those cigarettes and you can't smoke anymore. You say, you make a decision. I'm going to turn from controlling myself and letting God control me. I'm going to choose not to let myself in proximity to what God is telling me to let go of. And so, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. And so, how do you deal with this temptation? Romans 6:13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin. That means your members of your body is your legs, your feet, your hands, and your arms. When I preach down at Memphis Union Mission, I've been going down there for over 20 years, I say, guys, you're fixing to get up in a minute. You're going to eat lunch. Be honest with yourself. What are you already thinking about? What are you going to do after lunch? And they all start chuckling because they know they're going to probably go out and get some drugs or whatever because they're struggling with addiction. And I said, remember this. You can never blame anybody on the face of the earth. What you in your mind choose to do next. You can never blame anybody for this because you have taken each step by your choice. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. He's basically saying flip it, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. In other words, I'm the glove. The Holy Spirit is the hand. Instead of me controlling, I'm going to let Him control me. Basically, that's what He's saying here. So, the believer in Christ is to yield or present his bodily members to God as one who is alive from the dead. And the best example I have of this is something Cliff Barrows told me many years ago. Sitting in my study at my home, Cliff Barrows led the music for all the crusades and stuff for Billy Graham. He was the music guy. He's my wife's uncle. And so they were at our house visiting. And I never forget, he told me and my father-in-law, Dale Prince, he said, all these years, he said, I have this embedded in my mind. He said, every day throughout the day, this comes to my mind, halt. Halt when I'm hungry. Halt when I'm angry. Halt when I'm lonely. Halt when I'm tired. Because when we're in any of these categories, saying yes to temptation is extremely high. So deal with being hungry, deal with the anger, deal with being lonely, deal with being tired, or you're more susceptible to giving in to the temptation. Amen? We can all identify with this, correct? Or I'm the only one that deals with temptation. What are some thoughts?
It's amazing to me that this is not really a question, but it kind of amazes me a bit, and we'll learn more about it when we're on the other side. But the devil falling like that shows that, you know, God made us, gave us a free will, and apparently some type of free will for the angels too. Otherwise, Satan wouldn't have fallen, and he wouldn't have took a third of the angels with him, most likely.
He's very influential.
Yeah. God gave his angels. I guess it's similar, maybe even the same as our free will. I don't know for sure, but yeah. It's some kind of free will.
We're not robots. He can make us do everything perfectly.
Then there wouldn't be
he
no
does
love.
Not do it.
Love wouldn't exist.
Exactly. That's where Satan, I think Satan thinks God's weakness is his love. That's what I think. I might be right. What do you think, young man? I know this is your first time here.
Talking about temptation, or are we talking about God's will for us as after or before going off the way he's here?
I would say temptation being after salvation, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and then temptations keep coming our way.
See, I thought that was going to go, and I got saved. Boy, did I have a rude awakening. That pulled me down, and ultimately, I went into a point of a backslidden state for some years.
Yeah.
And thank God he pulled me back.
Amen.
Thank God.
So what's your thoughts?
I feel like temptation comes at you stronger when you realize that your salvation is there and that you do continue to put on the full armor of God and that you look at. You keep looking deeper into the Bible and you try to understand which temptations are you in the Bible. And it comes at you stronger. Started earlier in your life, whether it's, you know, the 30s or 40s or, you know, instead of waiting, going through life and thinking that whatever addictions or temptations that, you know, are coming at you in life, they get stronger and stronger. But as long as you turn over those temptations to the Lord, then you won't have any issues. Or you'll still have issues. That's the big thing with being a Christian.
The beauty is what you're saying. Once we choose, I got to make a decision. I got to lay this aside, and I got to keep my focus on the Lord. The beauty is this. Eventually, it actually becomes easier, and it becomes stronger. Adrian told us, I was on staff here with Adrian. He said, guys, I have not stopped sinning, but I'm going longer periods of time without sinning. And he was not thinking about some major sins. He was thinking about stuff like getting aggravated, getting their feelings hurt, getting aggravated on riding around 240, driving through 240 and people cutting you. He was talking about those little things. He said, I'm actually going longer periods of time without sinning, but guys, I have not stopped sinning. So I think what you were saying is, basically it's almost like what you're saying is relying on the will of God instead of my will, more and more I'm finding it's getting a little easier, but the temptations are still there. And I'm finding, wow, this is the wise way to go here. Everything else pulls you down. Memphis Union Mission, packed. All this weather we've had lately. When I go there, the place is literally packed. Several of these guys were medical doctors at one time. But what we're talking about is, I will, I will, I will, I will. Finally, and God, the thing is, God's not up in heaven angry because he's not surprised. He was not surprised by King David. He was not surprised by Saul of Tarsus. Basically, he's like holding a baby who's kicking and screaming until finally they get tired and they start sucking their thumb. And he says, now, let's go again. That's the way God operates.
Temptation has its ways of very quietly and subtly sneaking up on you, in my opinion. At least I have seen it to work. Maybe you not recognize it right away, and then all of a sudden there's something else coming in another direction. Then you got it coming at you from two or three different areas, and then you think, wait a minute, why in the world is all of this coming at the same time? Why didn't I recognize it yesterday, or why didn't I recognize it 2 hours ago? And you're angry, and you think, there's no reason to be angry. that person may not have even known what they said or did. But like you said, it hurt your feelings or it grabbed you the wrong way, so to speak. You became angry when possibly you should have been paying it more or have your awareness more. The Holy Spirit, something may have been blocking you, picking up on it as quickly as you did.
When you realize it, I go ahead and I done got angry. I done allowed myself to get angry, but instantly Holy Spirit's pointing it out to me in
exactly.
my heart. And so I asked for forgiveness right then and there. What at what point, I don't know, that I actually went from not being angry to angry. The anger is the sin. And if I realized I'd done it, then I'm going to go ahead and ask for forgiveness as quickly as possible. And that happens at times. And so I'm not going to sit here and think, well, here's what I don't want to do, and I think could be dangerous, is that I catch it so fast, I feel like maybe I didn't sin, maybe I really, because I let go really quickly these days, for the most part, I really do. God's made it easier for me not to be angry with people if they hurt my feelings. You're going to get your feelings hurt.
I know this sounds horrible, but I'm doing some studies on Satan. I know this sounds horrible, but I think we have a strong desire to be worshipped. What we usually call some kind of an emotional thing is I'm not feeling worshipped. And we call it acceptance, and I actually use the word a lot, and it's a good word. I just want to be accepted. Is it that, or do I want to be worshipped? Because remember, we have to remember, where sin originated, the father of sin, the father of lies, and if we're not becoming like Christ and we're operating in the flesh, I will, the similarities that we see in Satan, we'll see in ourselves. His big one, I will ascend to be like the Most High. That was his big one. He wanted to be worshipped. And I think our biggest struggle as humans, we don't realize it, but I'm wanting people to worship me. We say, no, I just want them to be nice to me. Is it that, or do you want worship? I think we're all struggling with it. I think preachers struggle with this. I want to be worshipped.
Worship is a good word. Could another word be added to it is we want to be in control of everything.
Yes, control is that. What do you think, Daryl?
I was just going to say, you know, all the temptations out there, like two things that come to mind is what we mentioned is lust, like women and also money. In particular for men, both of those, you know, you're looking for acclimation with a woman, you know, for a relationship, and also money kind of gives you a status. You know, if you're seeking that, you fall into that temptation a lot of times, seeking that as your God and stuff, and that's what I think sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like your analogy. My children never thought about, you know, you come into the world as a child disobeying, and, you know, you have to learn to obey. And I think that's what happens a lot of times. It takes people that they're not in the Word of God, they stay out of that. And that's why we see, I think, some of the violence in the world. So easily people kill each other and things like that is from, they're still a child. You know, they're still, they take out their frustrations with violence and things like that. So there's so much violence.
Another thing that's very convicting, we do teach our children how to behave. So the question is, where do they learn to misbehave? And I normally say it's the indwelling principle of sin that came from Adam, and so we had that in us. But also, we have to admit, they watch us as adults. It's an old saying, monkey see, monkey do. Isn't it interesting that sometimes, and I was with my daughter just Friday, I see a couple of things, I'm thinking, man, I wonder if she got that from me. Nah, she got it from my mama. In a way, our children are conformed to us. We know that we need to teach them to be conformed to the image of Christ. But the most natural thing is kids come into the world. They look at mom's face, though they can't even speak yet. But they can look at mom's face and know something's wrong. And they get nervous, even though they can't speak our language. They sense it in their spirit. They look at the face.
I'll say what I'm struggling with most is I've said it so many times. Temptation I struggle with most is knowing that I do have a son and that I do want to be around him, but I made horrible choices in my earlier years that have prevented me to even get to the point to where I'm able to even be a father, which makes me want to control more in the world of my own life, and I guess not necessarily be worshipped. It makes it easier for me to try to take that control back from God instead of taking it and giving it over to God.
Best thing to
do. Him work through me through his will and having his glory shine in me, my glory for everyone else, or my wanting to be worshipped mentality giving it all over to God. It can be a lot more difficult than we come.
I'm discipling a guy right now who's got two kids, and his wife died. At a young age, his wife died, and he became angry at that, and basically he distanced himself from the two kids until just here recently. He's now spending time with them, and they're like 8 and almost 10, and he feels guilty about the same things. And I said, the wisest thing you can do is when you're not around anybody, be so surrendered to the Holy Spirit in you that He begins to change you. And you don't have to tell them how serious you are. I'm going to change and I'm going to do this, and let them observe it. You don't have to tell them, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm going to church, I'm doing... Just begin to be who you already are in Christ, and they will notice it even when you don't notice it. But if you try to prove it, and then you realize he's watching TV, he's not listening to what I'm saying, which is common, it could get your feelings hurt. It's kind of like the daffodils. Have y'all noticed the daffodils? They haven't bloomed yet, but have y'all noticed the little bulbs coming out on top? They're going to bloom just in a little while in the spring. But right now, for the most part, all we see is green and then the bulb. But eventually, we'll look out there one day, and I got a particular place I like to look. We're going to see a yellow bloom. We're going to think, wow, that's beautiful. Spring has sprung. I had some guys say, would you help me with, I'm addicted to porn. And I'll say this. I said, I can help. But I say, you got to make me one promise. And they say, what's that? I said, that you and I don't talk about porn anymore. And they think I'm crazy. They said, well, what are we going to do then? I said, we're going to concentrate on one thing, spiritual growth. Focus on spiritual growth. I'm not talking about just a lot of knowledge. Surrendering to the control of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And eventually, you realize, I'm not struggling with porn anymore. What happened to me?
When you say you disciple this guy, you just mentioned him.
Yeah.
Are you doing it through the church or curriculum with the church?
I meet him.
Or are you doing it kind of just like on
yeah,
the side?
Yeah, I meet him at Panera's once a week, and we go through two books by a man named Lee C. Turner, and it's 24 lessons, and then I'm finished. And then I encourage him through the process that when you and I do the last lesson, I want you to already have in your mind a man that you're going to disciple.
Yeah. See, because I've looked at the curriculum here. They got a big, huge discipleship curriculum here.
Oh, that's a big focus.
I just started looking at it, and I don't know that I'm ready to jump right into it right now, but it's something that I'm...
It's the most satisfying thing to do is to disciple someone else and see God using you. Yeah, that's... it's like an old saying, oil in the lamp, gas in the car, Christ in the Christian. And you say, well, I want this to crank up and activate. In a positive and loving way, tell yourself no. Tell him yes, and you begin that at any moment, and you increase that. And the next thing you know, it's like the daffodils coming up just in a few weeks. First time I ever did this, I was a railroad engineer in Greenwood, Mississippi, and I was still single. And God said, Chris, I was going to the grocery store to get some groceries, and I saw a parking spot right at the front door. I was going to take it, and God said, don't take it. And then I thought, okay, am I talking to me or is he talking to me? And then I thought, there's only one way to find out. I gave up that parking spot, went all the way out in the middle, and I made myself. I was all by myself. I made myself walk in, and as I was walking in, looking at that parking spot right at the front, I began to have this feeling of, I really didn't have to have it. And I just began to cry. I felt very loved, and I felt like I could have hugged everybody's neck in that supermarket. And what it was, I was realizing, I just did not have to have my way all the time. Actually, it's like taking a load off your back.
Yeah. Certain things in my life these days, well, in the past, they were important to me. Some of the music I listened to and this and that. And when God got a hold of me again, those things started to fade away. Mm-hmm. In my desire, in my heart, in my mind, they're not even important. Certain things, I'm just using that as one example, but there were things, and some of it may not even been necessarily sinful,
yeah,
but there were things that weren't productive for me
yeah.
to do when I want to follow Christ completely.
I heard this missionary in the Philippines say one day they were on an old bus and they were picking up people and dropping them off. And a woman came on the bus and she had a bag full of vegetables was on her head. She got on the bus and then he says she sat in the seat right across from me. And then we started driving down the road to go to the next town. And she didn't take that off the top of her head. And he said, finally, I asked her, I said, ma'am, why don't you set that on the floor and let the bus carry the load instead of you carry the load? And she looked at him, and she took it off, and she set it down. I think we get this world system, everything coming at us in our eyes and ears, we get so much like this, we don't even realize. Just set it down. He's carrying me along. Why not just set it down?